From that, we're going to get into gifts, spiritual gifts, the doctrines of gifts. And we'll start with going to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's see. Addison and Levi, could you help me? And Bailey, I got three forms to hand out. All right, I want each one of y'all grab a stack and just hand one out to everybody. 1 Peter chapter 4, let's look down at verse number 7. 1 Peter 4, 7, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be solemn and sober so you can pray. Above all things, have unfailing love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Verse 9, show hospitality to one another without complaining. Verse 10, as everyone has received a gift, even so serve one another with it, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So what we notice there, even in Peter, everyone's been given a gift. Well, there's three papers, so everyone will get three papers. As everyone has received a gift, there is a service to be done with that gift. Okay, as everyone has received a gift, there's a service to be done. And each time gifts are mentioned, you'll always see love mentioned with it. Yep. When gifts are mentioned, you'll always see love mentioned with it. Okay? So just real quick, what do we know so far about spiritual gifts? What do we know so far about it?
Everybody has
one. Yep.
I
believe you can have multiple. I think everybody has at least one. Yep, I think you can have multiple. Mm-hmm. Yep.
They're to be used to edify the church.
Yep, used to edify the church. Yep, good. Excellent. What else do we know about gifts?
It's usually something.
What's that?
They can be abused.
They can be abused. They can be abused.
It's usually something we really don't want to do.
Usually in your flesh, you don't want to do it? Yep. Yep, that's true. Any other thoughts?
Well, when we use our spiritual gifts to edify the body, I think that comes into the demon seat rewards.
I think so. I think they're linked. Yep, that's 1 Corinthians 4. Yeah, 3 or 4. 3, yeah. Yep, I think they are linked together. Yep, absolutely. Yep, so we're going to start today by just looking at what are they for, right? What are gifts for? So we see here in 1 Peter that everyone's been given one. They've received a gift. Even so, serve one another with it as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So every believer is given a gift to serve one another. Right? As good stewards. We want to be good stewards. That's what we want to be. All right? So where we see a lot of explanation on gifts will be 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Yeah, 12 through 14, really. 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. Romans 12. Romans 12 and Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Any questions so far? Okay, so just to start, we're going to be skipping through on purpose in 1 Corinthians 12. But I just want to highlight the purpose of the gifts, where they come from, what they're supposed to be. We'll go in later in the following weeks on individual gifts, their purpose, what they're for. But today I really want to hammer down the foundation on who gives them and what's their purpose. Okay? So let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. So here Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant." Now think about this. They have gifts. The church at Corinth, they know they have gifts. They're using and abusing gifts. And they're doing it in ignorance, a lot of them. Right? They're doing it in ignorance. So they have this power, and they're using this power, many of them, for not godly things. Okay, so a lot of them are ignorant in these spiritual gifts, and Paul is going to re-explain to them this purpose, all right? Let's look at verse 4 real quick. Verse 4, "There are various gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord." A very common language is Ephesians 4, right? Many things, but one. One, 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 one. There are seven ones in Ephesians 4, right? So again, Paul has a theme of explaining various details, but showing they're all unified in one to get their minds focused on us all being one. Or in context, the believers at Corinth at this time, right? Okay, verse 5, "There are different administrations, but the same Lord." Verse 6, "There are various operations, but the same God who operates all of them and all people." Very important verse. God operates all these gifts in all people. Okay? God's operating these. Now, we're going to see coming up that the Holy Spirit gives them and operates them. So which one is it? Yes. Both. Right? Now, we're going to start skipping around on purpose just to highlight and bring out who gives them for what purpose. Okay? So let's go to verse 7. "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone for the common good." So these gifts, the manifestation, these gifts being seen by the Holy Spirit are given, we see right away, for the common good, right? So if there's no common good that's coming out of it, it's not of God. I'm not saying that that gift isn't from God, but the influence behind it is not godly, right? Okay? So we see, first of all, given to everyone for the common good. We'll skip down to verse 11. "But that one and the very same Spirit works all these, dividing to each one individually as He will." Well, now the Spirit's working these, and He's given to everyone, every believer, as He wills. Right? So God and the Holy Spirit are on the same page here. God's doing it. Holy Spirit's doing it. We see that they're on the same page. They're both administrating this perfectly. Any questions so far? All right, verse 12. "For as the body is one and has many parts, and all the many parts of that one body are one body, so also is Christ." So again, many different gifts happening, but one body. Okay? One body. And we're all baptized in that one body to the Holy Spirit upon salvation. Boom. At that moment that you receive Christ as your Savior, several things happen. You're a child of God. You have a future inheritance that can be taken away, in my opinion. You're redeemed.
Say that it's slower. Can or cannot?
Can. I think that your inheritance can be taken away. Yeah. Now, you're still going to be in heaven, but your inheritance is not heaven overall. It's things given to you. And we see in Galatians that those that live certain lifestyles will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now they're born again, they're going to heaven, they're not going to inherit, in my opinion, to rule and reign. And we'll get more on that later when we get to inheritance, okay? Alright, verse 18. "But now God has established the parts, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased Him." So the gift that God gives, the gift that the Holy Spirit gives, the gift that God gives to us is pleasing to Him. That's one area of my life that I can be well-pleasing to the Lord, right? Well-pleasing. That was one of the things that Paul's job was, per se, as an apostle of Gentiles, is to make the Gentiles well-pleasing to the Lord. And one area we see that is we get a gift because it pleases God. And when I submit to that gift and use it as a good steward, it's pleasing to God. Why? Because He has given me something that's beyond my power in my flesh to do something with it. Right? And that pleases God. So what you're going to see, and I'll use our language today, turning our shoulds into musts. Things that I know I should do, I can't think that way. I must do it. I must do it. Why? Because God gave it to me. Holy Spirit gave it to me. God asked me to do things. No more I should, I must do it. I'm going to retrain my brain to the shoulds to musts, right? Okay, so let's please God. Let's go down to verse 24. Verse 24, whereas our more respectable parts have no need of this, but God has composed the body, so here's God involved again, having given more abundant honor to that part which it lacks, so that there should be, here it is, no division in the body, but the parts should have the same care for one another. Okay, so we see that now there's no division, right? And how do we see no division? That everyone's being taken care of in the body. That's how. Okay? Each one has a gift to give. God desires that to happen so that there's no division. When I step back and I have humility, we'll go over more of this in the next hour because I'm going to go over again some parts in the beginning parts of chapter 4 before I go on the later parts of chapter 4. I have a humble mind. Okay? And I come over here with meekness. I am now looking at not myself, but the Lord, and how I can give His gift to others. Right? That's love. Love is seen in service. For God so loved the world, He did nothing but love people emotionally. No. What did He do? Gave His only begotten Son. God showing His love toward us, not while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Right? So love is seen in a sacrificial way. That makes sense what I'm saying? So something needs to be done when I have an emotional affection towards something. Action is required behind it.
Jesse, yeah. You know how there's different words in the Strong's for love in the Bible, like agape and
phileo, yeah.
Do they all of them have that sense of action?
To me, it looks like they do. Yeah, because even when I like someone, that brotherly love, I still have a requirement to, you know, well, even Ephesians says, love your neighbor. You know, we'll get to that here in the next hour. But yeah, so there's still, I have a brotherly love. There is an action to show behind that. What does that look like? And Ephesians 4 goes more into that kind of love. Mm-hmm. But good question. Okay, now we get more into different gifts. We'll bump on down.
Just, yeah. Before you go on, verse 24. Mm-hmm. What does it mean that God's given more abundant honor to that part which lacks it?
So we'll go over that when we get into the gifts. Okay. Yep. So I have a pretty good thought on that. Other than that, different question? Or are we good? Now, we have these gifts, right? The Corinthians have these gifts. So it's just not having these gifts that are something. There is a key element behind this gift, or these gifts, right? So go down to chapter 13, verse 13. And we'll go more into this when we get to the individual gifts. But so now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So that, again, is a motivating factor, is love. So I can have these gifts but abuse them. I can have these gifts and be great at them, but if there's no love behind it, Paul values love or writes more about love than even God's word. Sounds like blasphemy, but he only mentions God's word a couple times. Well, love is seen throughout Scripture. I think Paul knew something. I think Paul knew that even if you had God's word, he praises those that said, hey, like the Bereans, you didn't just take it as our word, but God's word, and you searched the Scriptures daily where those things were so. Right? But he values love. Why? Because you can have God's word, and if you don't have love behind it, it means nothing. It means nothing. So if I were to apply this to today, the 21st century in America, how many teachers, pastors, preachers, whatever, have a copy of God's word, and there's no love behind what they're saying? Right? Is it actually fulfilling what God wants then? I don't think so. There's a difference between feeling condemned and convicted. Right? Make sense?
No, I don't understand the feeling condemned.
So condemned means you know someone is like browbeating you and guilting you and shaming you. And convicted is wow, that's true. I want to do that. Like it's more of a hug than a punch.
So does the condemning, right? It's not God.
Yep, and Satan will influence even godly people to do wrong. Yep. Yep. All right, so we see that love is a motivating factor. Okay, chapter 14, moving on down. Chapter 14, look at verse 3. But he who prophesies speaks to men for their edification, exhortation, and comfort. Right? So we see edification, exhortation, and comfort really being high on Paul's list with this gift of prophecy. Okay? Really high up there. Edification, exhortation, okay, and comfort. So we see that we'll need that one gift throughout the body, we should see these things happen. Right? See this happen. All right, let's go over to verse number 12. Verse number 12. So seeing that you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Just for fun, go to verse 23. Therefore, if the whole church assembles in one place, see, we are the church, and when the church comes together, is assembly. When the church, individuals, come together, it's an assembly. Something needs to be done. We'll go into that next week more, but I just wanted to kind of point that out, that you don't go to church, you are the church. The church comes together as an assembly, right?
So, does that mean that I'm a part of the church.
And you're part of the body.
Part of the body. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, so when the body comes together, it's assembly.
Yes.
But when is it the, how, am I the church or is the body the church?
So both, and I'll tell you, I'll explain why, because the body is made of individuals.
Okay.
Yep, so the church, when they come together and assemble, that's one body coming together to do something and look like something.
But the church is like worldwide.
Absolutely.
Got it.
Yep.
Got it. Okay.
So the church will be raptured. Not us sitting in here and to be in this building to go. No.
Okay.
Most of us probably won't be in here when that happens, right?
But so is our local church here is the body?
It's a local assembly.
It's a local assembly.
So it's where the church, the local church, where the local church comes and assembles. For a matter of technical semantics. Yeah.
But so when God puts us together in a body, is he talking about like us here and then the next town over, that's a separate body? Is that right?
Yep. Okay. And I'll explain too, because each epistle has different requirements of them when the epistle is written to them. Mm-hmm. So it isn't the same thing to everybody. Ephesus is their letter. Colossae is their letter. You know, Philippi is their letter. right? Different things in there, right? Same universal church, just going through different things in their area. Does that make sense? Yeah. Does that make sense to you guys?
I didn't hear what you said.
Okay, so different local assemblies, right? Everyone's a church, but everyone assembles in different places. And so what they're going through at that time with their culture, Paul addresses in his letters. You'll see common themes of maybe doctrine, but how they appropriate or how they live out that can be different. Okay? So like at Corinth, Paul isn't teaching the Ephesians the same things that he's teaching the Corinthians because they're not going through that. They're fine at Ephesus. They're matured and growing. Right? They don't have these problems. Now, do we see love in both books? Absolutely. Do we see unity in both books? Absolutely. But they're in the context explained and appropriated in different ways.
So do you think each body has all of the gifts? I mean, did Ephesus, were they supplied with all of the gifts and Corinth with all of the gifts? Or is it just God blesses the church with what he knows they need?
It's tough because like at Philippi, it was a small beginning.
Yeah.
You know, so if you have like 17 gifts,
right,
and there aren't 17 people there,
right,
either A, not all gifts are there, or B, all the gifts are there within whoever's there, right? Right. So that's a tough one. I don't know.
But yeah.
I would say he fulfills it.
Yeah.
You know, if there's born 17 people, I'm pretty sure he's divided it up to where they're all fulfilled. Yeah. This is my opinion, though.
Yeah. That's
yeah. Right. If I think so, I don't think that he would leave it unnourished. You know, now whether someone lives out that gift is a different story. Whether they're obedient or not is on them. Yeah. So it could be fulfilled, but they either don't know because they're ignorant, or they're abusing it, or they're not using it, and they know they should. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, again, verse 26. How is it then, brothers? When you come together, every one of you has a psalm, a teaching, a tongue, a revelation, interpretation. The main point I want to look at is this. Let all things be done for what? Edification. Okay, verse 31, for you may all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be encouraged. Verse 33 really clarifies it, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Okay, so what do we know so far? So just reading those few chapters, what has your brain retained? So don't think about any gifts right now. Who has given them and for what purpose?
God gives them for the edification of his church.
Right. What else?
For the common good.
For the common good. Excellent.
For the strengthening of the body.
That's true. Yep.
And also for exhortation and comfort.
Yep. Yep. Exhortation and comfort. Good. Anything else? Comes to your mind?
That the Holy Spirit and Jesus and God are all working together.
Right. Yeah, they're all in cahoots, right? They all know what they're doing. Yeah, exactly. So that's going to keep our minds straight. So instead of memorizing chapters and verses, let's memorize thoughts and purposes, right? Let's not memorize a chapter and verse, but when I think of 1 Corinthians 13, I understand that number one, gifts were given for the common good. God gives them as he wills. It's pleasing to God to give his gift, right? The Holy Spirit diversifies those gifts as he wills to encourage, exhort, to edify. You know, we have to have the motivation of love behind it, okay? So all those things, right? So when I think of 1 Corinthians 13, it is, I don't want to get microscopic to, well, there's this gift and this gift, and what about this? Is this true for today? Step back and go, what's the whole purpose? I mean, who gives them, and what are they for? Right? Then we'll take a step forward and go, okay, so if these gifts are present, right, we know for sure it has to be according to this back here first. Sometimes it's easier to get big picture and go, okay, I see the big picture. How do these individual things fit God's big picture? Instead of going to the small things and go, okay, well, how does this fit the big picture? It's easier sometimes to go the other way. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Yeah. So let's start memorizing just thoughts and processes, context, not so much chapter and verses. It's hard to do. But your brain can think and memorize a topic, a thought, right? We just went through three chapters. We know the gist of it, right? In three chapters. You know at least a big summary. Here's what I do know. It starts here. Now, is there more things involved? Of course. Of course there are. We'll get to that in the following weeks. But if we have that as our base on, okay, here's what they're for. Everyone does have them. Peter says to use it, as everyone's been given a gift, to serve as good stewards. We see service in these three chapters. We'll see it in Romans 12. We can actually go there right now, actually. Romans 12. This whole chapter is on gifts and how to use them. So Paul does it differently here to Rome. He starts with having them present their bodies as a living sacrifice. He has them focus on, it's their reasonable service of worship. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? And then we'll go down to verse 8, 12:8. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sound judgment, according to the measure of the faith of God, has distributed to every man. So again, every man has a gift, right? Now, they're going to go into the different gifts here. We'll go to those next week. But if you also look, go down to verse number... Did I give you guys the right verse to start in?
No, we've been three.
Okay. I meant three, not eight. I crossed mine out with my own Greek paragraph, so I was like an eight. Verse 9. The true verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. So again, when we see these gifts, you're going to see love mentioned with all of them. Okay? They have to go together. They're not interchangeable, they're one. Okay? They're one. And I know we'll go over it again in Ephesians in the next hour. We'll go over those gifts there, but that's also mentioned there as well. Any questions so far? Any thoughts?
Do you think that the gifts that were given here for our body here in Sutherland, do you think that they look different over in Kenya?
No. I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope, because that would be confusing.
Okay.
Yep. Right, and we'll get into that later.
Okay.
You got to remember that when these gifts were given, the Bible is not written down. Right? It's not canonized. Right? Each church doesn't look like they got the same gifts. Just because we have prophesying and healing at Corinth doesn't mean those gifts are also, because those are sign gifts, given to Ephesus. We don't see them at Ephesus. Interesting, isn't it?
To the point, every area, every church, Ephesus, Colossae, Philippians, whatever, has only one letter. That's all they got.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the whole scripture. They can flip back and forth and see what this one said versus that one.
Right.
They only got one letter.
Yep. Yep. And so with healing, right? So that's a big one. Why would a body of water change the gift of healing from America to Africa? If the gift of healing is still in effect today, Because there are people in Africa that think that healing still exists. The people in America think that also.
Well, but to clarify, God could heal somebody, but the gift of healing...
The gift is gone.
Right, the gift is gone. Doesn't mean God could still heal a person if he wanted to.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep, so God healing someone's different, but a gift to go and heal someone is different, right? So if that's true, where are they? If that's true, where are they at? Where are those people at?
They're not,
right? Yeah, you don't see them. The ones that you see are fake, right?
Yeah. I was just going to say Channel 7.
Oh, joke.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I think there was a time for sign gifts to show Jesus as power, but over time I think those go away. Because now the truth has been spread to where people know about it, and so they don't need that validation anymore. So sign gifts, I think, are done.
Well, not only is that truth spread, it's also more mature as the church grows.
Right. Exactly.
I didn't hear what you said. Sign gifts?
Sign gifts. So like the gift to speak in another language. Okay. So we'll see here, when the body's coming together, we have different languages. It's not gibberish, something unknown. It's an established language at that time.
Right.
There are many languages, right? So I have the gift to be able to speak German. I never planned for it or trained for it. And even many of them can speak that language, but they didn't know what they're saying. They can't interpret it, right? I think that gift is gone. Just like what Julie said earlier, does that mean that God can't give someone that power to do it at a certain time? No, that can happen. But the administration of that gift to a lot of people is done.
Where did healing go? Where did that go away?
Yeah, as the church grew and as more of the truth spread, those gifts, those sign gifts go away more and more.
And you're saying sign gifts because?
Because there are administrative gifts of service, which that's what we have now. And sign gifts are like supernatural acts of power given to a lot of individuals, right? So to heal, we see apostles healing people. We see Peter's shadow healing people. We don't have that now. That doesn't exist nowadays.
So where did that go? Where did it disappear? Why did it disappear?
Because it's complete. Prophesying and tongues will cease when that which is perfect has come. I think that perfect is the known world getting the gospel. Not the complete Bible, but the known world receiving that truth is complete.
That's in Corinthians.
Right. Okay. So we know those two things will stop. Why? Because something has come. Now which is perfect has come. I think that perfection, that the word is complete. Now it's complete, it's come, but what's complete? That whole area getting the gospel. That's what I think. Mm-hmm. So we don't need them now.
And those are the only two?
We'll find out coming up. Don, why don't you pray for us?
Thank you, Father, for the time that we get to spend searching through your word and learning what you have to teach us. We thank you for Jesse and his that understanding of this, and we just pray that you would help us to apply this to our lives as we go further through this exercise that we'll do this week. We give the rest of this day to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.